Friends, welcome to ourselves today, and I welcome to those who may be joining us online. And I do wish you all a happy new year, and we trust that God will be with us as we worship him today and as we journey on to this year, that we will truly know him as our guide and our keeper, and know what it is to put our trust in his name every step that we take on our journey together. We're going to begin our service by singing to God's praise in Psalm 23. It's a well-known psalm to us. It's a psalm that speaks to us of exactly what we need as we journey on through life. Psalm number 23 in the Scottish Psalter, on page 229. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. We'll sing the whole of the psalm to God's praise.
The Lord's my shepherd,
join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most gracious God, we gather to worship your name in this moment in our lives. Every moment that we have is always a moment of looking forward into what is truly unknown to us. We are thankful as we gather to worship you at the beginning of this year, that what is unknown to us is known to you in all of its detail. And thankful also that the knowledge that you have of what is unknown to us is not a knowledge gained by receiving information from anyone else, but the knowledge that you have as our God and as our Creator, who weaves the fabric of our lives in accordance with your purposes and plans, and who does so for the good of your people, to steer them along life's way and to enable them to sing a psalm such as the psalm that we sang, a psalm that claims to have possession of you as God, as King, and as Shepherd, and a psalm that sings triumphantly of the grace and the protection of God and the certain arrival for your people in that eternal dwelling place where they shall rest with you forevermore. And we call upon you today, and we pray that you will give to us a sense in our hearts of you being our shepherd, and because of that, that we will not want, and help us to trust in you, to put our hand in your hand, and to take every step of life's way as those who are children looking to our Heavenly Father, as those who truly believe that your care for us is unending and deeper than any care offered to us. And help us to believe in you. So often we become fearful and distracted because we simply don't trust and believe. And help us, O Lord God, to learn from our past failings, failings through which we have met you in new and different ways. Help us to learn from past failings. Help us to have our eye fixed upon you. Help us to be more focused in all that we do in life. And help us to know the daily inspiration of seeing and knowing that your eye is upon us. And help us to have in our hearts the joy of the Lord as our strength and your salvation as our song. We do give thanks to you as we reflect together today. We give thanks to you for your goodness to us in the year that has closed. We give thanks to you for your mercy, for your grace, for your deliverance, for your protection. We give thanks to you for help in times of danger. We give thanks to you for strength in times of weakness. We give thanks to you for healing in the midst of sickness. We give thanks to you for comfort in the midst of grief and sorrow. A multitude of experiences that we have all passed through in the year that has closed. And we are thankful today that you brought us through them all to give us this opportunity today to worship you and to look forward, and to do so in the sure and certain knowledge that the God who has been our help in times past will be so in the days that are to come. And so accept our thanks for your goodness and bless us together here today. Bless every heart and every home. Bless every person belonging to us as a congregation and as a community. We pray for all our people at the beginning of this year that your hand would be on their hearts, that they would see the beauty of your grace in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and that you would draw people to yourself to walk with you and to be Enochs in the day in which we live, a people who walk with God and to have communion with you, and a people who are like the Lord Jesus himself, who are the light of the world because of their faith in you. And may we so together as a community know what it is to have the brightness of the shining of your light from our hearts, and so that as we journey on through the year, that your word will be the means of teaching us and guiding us, that in it and through it we may know a personal relationship with you, and that all of our people will live with that joy in their hearts and with the hope of everlasting life alive in their minds and living day by day with the expectation of your return. We pray today for those for whom today is a day of pain and of sorrow. We do pray especially for those who have suffered loss and have done so even in the past day. Lord, we ask for comfort. We ask for grace. We ask for the balm of your love in hearts that are broken and bruised. And we pray you to give to all such a sense of your comforting, consoling presence at this time for them, that they will know your strength, and day by day they will learn more about you as the Lord who is their own shepherd. And though they pass through the valley of the shadow of death, they need fear no evil, because you are with them. Bless our world, the world in which we live. Help us, O Lord, to live for you, and help us to seek together to make this world a better place. There is so much confusion in the world in which we live, so much darkness, so much sense of loss of direction, and such a great need of the compass of your word and the power of your spirit to rescue us and to deliver us. And we do pray for that, that you will intervene at every level of society, in every corner of it, that you will come in this year and right the wrongs and speak your word with power into our lives, to give us to be redirected and to have our faces fixed upon you, and to live life seeking your glory. We pray for all of our people as we journey on through the ongoing COVID pandemic. Keep our people safe. Give healing to those who may be suffering from the virus. Keep them from serious illness and symptoms. And watch over us day by day as we look to you to lift your hand from upon us. And so we pray as we commit ourselves to you, that you hear our prayer and hear all the cries that arise from the hearts of all gathered before you here today. We ask that you will bow down your ear and listen and be gracious as we commit ourselves to you. Bless your word to us. Bless it to us in our reading, in our singing, and in our studying of it together. Hear us, we pray, and accept us. For we ask all of these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we turn to read the word of God, and we do so in the Old Testament and in the book of Psalms and in chapter 91. The book of Psalms, chapter 91. Psalm 91, I can sing the whole of the, read the whole of the psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. This is God's word. And we trust that he will bless to us a reading from it. As we go together into this new year. We all know, of course, that the Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. In many ways, the challenges that we faced in the past will be challenges that we will face in the future. And in this past year, perhaps we have faced challenges because of the pandemic that is in many ways unique in the sense that for our generation, at least, we haven't experienced times such as these. And so the challenges will probably be the same, and I'm sure also there will be challenges which will be unique to this year and, of course, also unique to ourselves. We have challenges in life outside of us, and we have domestic challenges in the way that we face issues as families and as homes, illnesses and suffering and even loss of loved ones. And as we look to the future, we can expect more of the same. So what should we do as we journey on forward? We recognize that the people of God are travelers. Their faith is a nomadic faith. And we can remind ourselves of the story of Abraham, who obeyed God when he was called to go to a place that he was to inherit. And he went out not knowing where he was going. And we seek today to have the faith of Abraham, to go out not knowing where we are going, and just like him, to live as if we are in tents because we are on a journey together. Was to look at the psalm and to see something of how it might help us to live on our journey together as those who seek to put the Lord before us and to discover the Lord as our shepherd. And the psalm follows Psalm 90, of course, where we see Moses, the prayer of Moses, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." And there is a continuation of that theme into the psalm. And when you look at the psalm, we see that the psalm is using, first of all, the third and first person. In the first two verses, there's reference to he, and there's a reference to I. And then from verse 3 to verse 13, it's about you. It's about what the word means for you. And then we come back to verse number 14, and there is a reference to I will do and I will say, which is the first person and which is a reference to God himself speaking. So today, from the psalm, recognizing our need for help as we go forward together, I want us to notice, first of all, that we have in the psalm a dwelling place. We need somewhere secure. There is no place like home because that's where we feel secure. Wherever we go in life and face the challenges of life, we want to be able at the end of the day to go back to our homes and there settle and find rest. And this psalm begins by reminding us that we have in God a dwelling place. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a general statement about God. Those who inhabit, who have as their dwelling place, who have as their home, the shelter of the Most High. The Most High God being that majestic God, the God who is high and who is lifted up, the God described by Isaiah in chapter 57 as the God who is holy, who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity. The Most High God, if we dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, that is, if we find covering and find shade and find shelter, find our protection from life-threatening situations. And for the people of God, in the time of the psalmist, a lot of the dangers were because of conflict and war around them. And when they come to speak of finding shelter in the Most High, it's meaningful as the place where they find protection and safety. David was fleeing from Saul, and he found shelter in a cave. Elijah was fleeing from King Ahab. He found shelter in a cave. There is that sense of being enclosed and that sense of living in a place where there is complete safety. And along with that, we'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So I have somebody who's dwelling in this house and somebody who's abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. And the abiding speaks to me of lodging the night, of putting my head on my pillow at night in this home where I find shelter. And know what it means when the psalmist speaks in another place of the God who gives his beloved sleep. Here is a dwelling place where I live and where I'm protected. Here is a dwelling place where I lay down my head on my pillow as one who trusts in God and sense that in the almightiness of God that I'm able to shut my eyes and leave my cares with him and know the tenderness of his loving care as he, as if it were, puts his finger on my eyes to shut my eyes in sleep. And when the Bible speaks of the God who is the Almighty, it's the El Shaddai of the Old Testament. The El Shaddai is the shadow of the people of God. And the El Shaddai is the God who cares for his children with a motherly kind of love through which the God will embrace them in the cares of the day and the God who will comfort them as they sleep at night. And as we go forward into this new year, what a comfort that is. Not only to know the Lord as our shepherd, but to know the Lord as our home, as the place in which we live, as that wall around us which will protect us from every evil that we are going to face. Surrounded, as David says in Psalm number 32, with shouts of deliverance because our God is preserving us from trouble. Together today, don't we long to have that kind of home to live in as we journey onto this new year. And when the psalmist makes that statement about God, he goes on in the second verse to tell us that God is his God, that's the life that he lives. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The Lord who is his Savior is the Lord who is his refuge, is the Lord who is his fortress, is the Lord who is such a presence around him that the protection is such that nothing and no one can break through. It's the fortress that the people of God had in the Old Testament. It's the city that's built so that nothing can reach to it. And running and living in that fortress, I will see that this is the God in whom I trust. And that statement of personal faith brings the challenge to us, to ourselves today, as to making this God our dwelling place and to say to him and of him that we will say to the Lord that you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so often our failure to enjoy the peace of the dwelling place that we have in God is simply our failure to trust. The psalmist speaks in Psalm number 22, that great messianic psalm, he speaks of the way in which our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They were not put to shame. It's that personal faith which reaches out to God that speaks of what's going on in our hearts. So that when God says to me in his word, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of your bondage, that to my faith, my response to that is to say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, and in you will I trust. And of course, that very trust has as its expression our devotion to God in our prayers. And there is such a close association between our prayers and the protection that we're going to enjoy in the dwelling place, which is God, and the peace which we're going to enjoy at night, so that anxiety disappears through the marvel of the prayer of the people of God, praying in our prayer, trusting in our God, and laying hold of his promises. We have a dwelling place. May God grant that that dwelling place will be yours and will be mine. And no matter what this year brings to us, may we find solace and peace. The storms shut outside, and is living, as if it were, in God himself, and all his almightiness as a shadow where we find our rest, the dwelling place. Secondly, I want to see that we have daily protection. As we noticed with regard to Abraham's faith, it was a faith which meant that he was on a journey. And the very nature of life in the world is very simply that we just cannot stay at home all the time. We have a life to live. And from verse 3 onwards, the psalmist goes on to speak about the way in which the people who have God as their dwelling place are the people who enjoy his daily protection in everyday life. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will deliver you. He will rescue you from every place of danger. And we know the different ways in which we are exposed to danger in life, the temptations, the challenges, the illnesses, the afflictions, the pains and the sorrows, the fevers, the pandemics, everything that meets with us in life. We journey on and we are constantly exposed to danger. And these dangers remind us of the invisible dangers that the psalmist goes on to speak about, the invisible dangers that are around us and we don't realize that they're there. The snare of the fowler, by its very nature, it's a trap because it's unseen. If I see it on the plain road in front of me, I'm going to avoid it. But the snare's, the fowler's snare is there in order to catch and to trap, so that when the bird walks into it, it closes in upon it and the bird is trapped. The danger of temptation. Recall the experience of the Lord Jesus, tempted by the devil to cast himself off the pinnacle of the temple and to trust in God because he will send his angels to save you, to protect you. These temptations that are unseen, are invisible, but that are real in our lives. And out of these, the psalmist reminds us that God will deliver, snatching from the place of danger. And we can just imagine the snare of the fowler and the bird ready to step into the trap and being rescued by something or someone from that trap in the last moment. So often that's the way life is. We are so close to falling into the trap, so close to be overcome by temptation. But the intervention of God in his time, in accordance with his plans, he comes to deliver us, to take us, as it were, as brands from the burning, to take us from the very place of danger. And interestingly, in this very same verse, the psalmist reminds us that God will deliver us from the plague. And these things are so real to us in the world in which we live. For the people of God in the Old Testament, the plagues promised in Leviticus 26 and Numbers 14, the plagues promised were there if the people were disobedient. But they were plagues. They were a real experience of fever and illness and sickness and death for those who passed through them. God is promising that He will deliver even from the deadly pestilence. And that itself is thought-provoking. And we know for sure that as we have looked back on the past year, we know that it is simply not true that God will keep us alive from the plague. When you look at the statistics of those who have lost their lives through the pandemic, they speak for themselves. And yet here we are with this God who is saying to us, I will deliver you from the pestilence. See, it's Spurgeon, in wrestling with that very same question, said this: it is impossible that any ill should happen to the man who is beloved of the Lord. Ill to him is no ill, but only good in a mysterious form. Losses enrich him, sickness his medicine, reproaches honor, death is his gain. It's something like Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to the purposes of God. It is what Paul is saying with regard that he is sure that nothing shall separate him from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the protection that the psalmist is speaking of, the protection that God gives to us in our daily lives, is exactly that. It's deliverance. Because no matter what's in our cup, no matter what the pain is, no matter what the sorrow is, no matter what the grief is, it will be there. But by the grace of God, it becomes part of the medicine through which God is working in our lives to bring us along in our journey with Him and to purify us, to sanctify us, to make us more like we ought to be as He shapes us and molds us in the very image of His only begotten Son. Our fathers cried, they prayed, and you delivered them. And when the Bible speaks to us of the way in which the people of God are the apple of God's eye, it reminds us of His intimate care, His connection with Him, how precious they are, that whoever touches you, says Zechariah, touches the apple of His eye. The deliverance that we have on our journey. And we have that deliverance because God is mobile, because God is always on the move. The God who is my dwelling place is also my traveling companion. And every journey that I take, in whatever form that journey takes, He is my traveling companion. He is not only the heavenly escort as He sends His angels, but He Himself, the God who is the living God, who is my Savior, He is my escort as I journey on through this year. And we see that in verse 4. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. The Lord, in the experience of the people of God, He is like the eagle that hovers over them. In Deuteronomy 32, that stirs up its nest. The eagle that flutters over its young. The eagle that spreads its wings over his young. the eagle that catches them and that bears them on its wings and on its pinions. The eagle, the picture of power and of energy and of flight and of height and power over the enemies of its nest and the power over everything that is working to destroy the life that is so full of potential, that's going to grow up into the same powerful bird. And here, God is like that. And do remember the words of the Lord Jesus crying over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, but you would not. The divine protection. The God who is the powerful eagle who watches over his covenant people. He is a shield and a buckler because of his faithfulness. Because of the fact that he's unchangeable, that he's firm and steadfast. And as we go into the new year, knowing that we will fail ourselves, knowing that other people will fail us, knowing that the world will fail us, we have the assurance of the divine protection, unchanging, never withdrawn, constantly with us. And because of that, we will have our safe journey home. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and in God's house I will dwell forevermore. Divine protection. A protection that does not guarantee that I won't have my troubles, does not guarantee that I won't have my sorrows, that I won't have my pains, but does guarantee that these things will not overcome and will not have the last word, because God is working, weaving the pattern, and with a golden strand of his grace and of his salvation, my life will be completed by him and kept by him until such time as he comes to call us home to be with himself and to find the eternal dwelling place that he has prepared for us and the glory that lies beyond. My security in the dwelling place where I can go home and rest in my God. The security of my traveling companion, that wherever I go, God is always with me, and he will be my shield to protect me, my whole body, and he will be the buckler that's going to help me fight off every effort that there is made to hit me, to touch me, to hurt. The God who says, let no one touch my anointed ones, is the God who promises divine protection to me. And thirdly, we have in verse number 14, we have the divine pledge. And it's interesting as we read through the psalm, the way in which there is this sudden change. And the sudden change is to give the confirmation that the claim of the psalmist is true. And to give that confirmation not from someone else who has faith, but to have that confirmation from the God in whom the psalmist trusts, the divine pledge to drive the message home. In verse 14, because he holds fast to me in love. We would expect these words to come from the lips of the psalmist. But here is the eagle. Here is El Shaddai. Here is the Almighty God. And he's looking down at the psalmist, and he's saying, with regard to the psalmist, as if he's having a conversation about the psalmist with someone else, because he holds fast to me in love. And there is such a richness of passion and of commitment in the expression that God uses with regard to the psalmist. It's one word in the Hebrew. He holds fast to me in love. It's one word. But it's a word that captures the whole of the desire of the psalmist, the whole of the yearning of the psalmist, the whole of the longing of the psalmist, and the whole of the way in which the psalmist cleaves to the God in whom he trusts. And God is responding to that embrace of the psalmist and wants to share this with others so that they will understand how this relationship works. And today, as we enter into this new year, we want to ask ourselves, what would God be saying about your life and about mine if we were going to have this conversation about your heart, about my heart? What a wonderful blessing today. How reassuring today. If the God who is speaking about the psalmist is the God who is looking down at you and at me and is recognizing in your heart a passionate love for him, a yearning for him that surpasses everything else, a desire that will not be satisfied until you hear and see and know him more deeply, a love that's all-consuming, so that you're pursuing this God with all of your enthusiasm, that every ounce of energy in your body spent, not just today as you think of this new year, but every day, that as God is your escort, your companion along life's way, so you live in love with him and you live embracing you with your whole being. What do you yearn for today? What is your deepest longing? Is it for safety? Or does it go beyond that to the God who provides the safety, to the Savior who is your Lord and Shepherd? Our yearning today must go through all of the challenges that we expect to face, all the dangers that we imagine in our minds. Our longings must go through all of these and embrace our God and our Savior with all of our hearts and with all of our loving. Because God is saying, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him, I will protect him, because he knows my name. There is no sense here of unfamiliarity. There is the very opposite. That the psalmist is in love because he knows his God. That the psalmist is in love because he knows the name of God, which speaks about the character of God and about the work of God in the world, the work of God in redeeming his people. He knows my name. That gets us to the very issue that's of greatest importance for us today. That we love the Lord because our voice and prayers he did hear. Because when the cords of death surrounded us and we cried to him, he delivered us and he rescued us. And he brought our souls, our inner beings, to the quietness of the rest of his salvation. And that's the underlying experience that is behind all of the protection that God promises. He pledges to be with his people. And in that pledge to protect them, God is saying to the psalmist that he will be his servant, The God who calls people like Moses, who calls people like you and like me to serve him. He calls and we answer him. The God here in his pledge is saying that he's reversing all of that. And that when he calls to me, when the psalmist prays in the midst of his dangers and challenges, exposed to his enemies, life-threatening situations, in these situations, he calls out to God. It brings us to the prayer life. That's the heartbeat of this loving relationship with the God who protects. And when he calls to me, I will answer him. There is that response. I will answer him by serving him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. We pray to God, and he comes with his chariots, as we read in Psalm 68. He comes with all of his mobile power to step into where we are, to deliver, to protect, to rescue and to honor him, to rescue from danger, to give him that place of honor. The honor that speaks, first of all, of the honor of the place of security. It's being weighty, being honored, it's being given that status in life of being secure. And such is the victory of faith that Paul is able to say that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Here is the honor. It's the sense of the victory that God comes when he rescues me from the seeming defeat that I've stared in the face. He comes to rescue and gives that sense of being more than conquerors. I will honor him. And the ultimate honor, the honor of glory itself. To his glory afterward, he will receive us to abide with him. And the pedestal of the victory of the grace of God in life finally becomes the pedestal of his glory in heaven. And as he rescues me repeatedly on my journey through life, he will come at last. He will rescue me from this world and take me out of its dangers and bring me into his glorious presence. And one day, he will complete the process and he will come in the greatest act of deliverance of all, when on the last day, the graves will open, they will hear his voice, and they will be raised up in glory with him, being changed at last into his likeness, and him as the Lamb of God who leads the people of God into the very presence and throne of God, honored in glory. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The divine pledge. What a great God we have. The God that the Bible tells us, with regard to him, it's impossible for him to lie. His word is absolutely reliable. And so today, let's go forward together. Yes, we cannot avoid our imagination running away with the things that might happen and the things that might never happen. But let's ensure that our thinking process and our planning process and our looking forward process, let's ensure that underlying it and informing it at every step of the way is the fact that we have God as our dwelling place, that we are absolutely secure, that we have the divine protection of God as our traveling companion, and that no matter where we go, our shepherd is with us, leading us and guiding us. And that we have in our hearts the pledge of his presence and his protection because of our love for him. And so today, let's go forward believing in him. Let's go forward loving him. Let's go forward trusting in him. And whatever happens, the end will be much better than the beginning because God is in it. And he changes the ills into the things that are a blessing to us and will ensure that we will arrive in glory and will reflect upon it in the words that we are just going to sing, that we journey on through life and going through Baker's Vale, we are caused to dig up the wells. But the rain comes down and we drink to our fill because God blesses us in the midst of our greatest need. May God help us and may bless his word to us and may he encourage us from it as we go forward together today. And let's join it together in prayer. Most gracious God, we are thankful to you for the riches of your word, for the preciousness of your promises, and for the blessings that are secure for the people of God, for all those who put their trust in your name. And we are thankful that it is your grace that saves. We are thankful that it is your grace that is sufficient for us. And we are thankful that you are the God who gives grace and will ultimately give glory. And we worship you and we praise you today and ask that you will go before us, that you will lead us by your counsel, that you will help us to dwell in safety because we know that you are with us and that you will never leave us or forsake us. So bless us, we pray, and hear us, we ask, and go before us now, having mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we sing in Psalm number 84 in the Scottish Psalter. Psalm number 84, and we're singing at verse 4. It's on page 338. Psalm 84 at verse 4. Blessed are they in thy house that dwell, that they ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways. From verse 4 to the verse 9 to God's praise.
Blessed are they in thy house that dwell, they ever give thee praise. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, in whose heart are thy ways.
We'll stand for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.